siempre por el tronco.
Honourable members, delegation from CEF and delegation from EDF, Electricité de France, I welcome you all and the Fossil State. Today we are continuing our work in doing oversight on the various entities under the Department of Energy, and we will be handling Central Energy Fund as the holding company. I want to be upfront and be clear that today we are dealing with the Central Energy Fund as the holding company. The next phase would be to deal with the whole spider web of SCEF subsidiaries. Pretty soon, we'll be sending the department dates for that oversight work. Ms. Ansa, you left to fly to Joburg. It's only Petro SA who's around here. We will be spending a couple of days, obviously, because the companies under CF are numerous. The subsidiaries, the associates, this and that. We're going to go through all of them, the projects, literally all of them, as part of our oversight work. I just wanted to highlight that from the onset. But today, we're only dealing with the holding company. That's why we even said key operations and the annual plan. Unfortunately, the parliament work or the parliament program, because of the changes that have been taking place, that's how things are now. It would have been lovely to have gone through the report, annual report first, and then the plan, but we all will be handling the annual reports later in the third term, the forthcoming third term, together with the budget review and recommendations report. stuff all handled in one time. So hopefully from there we'll start working out, working on our oversight in a proper rhythm. It's rather stupid now. Regarding EDF, I almost ran away from them, but they persuaded me, because they are also going to see the department, and there were time pressures, and I decided to appeal to members that will just allow them the last few minutes after we've dealt with the, you know, CEF. And of course, this is the only committee week that we have, because when we come back, we'll be quite hectic with oversight work. And there is legislation coming in the third term, so we will quite be pressurized. Without any further ado, can I then hand over to the Central Energy Fund to make its presentation? But just before that, I just want to highlight that I'm rather concerned that we do not have any documentation. As a matter of practice, it is there in the committee procedures or parliament procedures that when any parliamentary committee does its oversight work in the form of getting briefings here, that documentation has to come, I think it's at least 7 days before. I might even be inaccurate. I know in certain instances it's even longer than that. Now, if you cannot even get it on the very day, I must rather unfortunately firmly express my dissatisfaction on that. For an entity as well-resourced as CEF, I do not expect that in future. And I do not expect that in future at all. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to CEF now.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, let me respond to the issue of the written documentation. We were only advised of this meeting on Thursday last week, and the advice said if we could send the presentation by end of business yesterday, which was done by email. The email was actually sent, so it must have gone astray somewhere.
On my side, the committee secretary doesn't know anything about that. Okay, whatever the case may be, let me just put on record apologies, then if the case is not your side.
Yes.
Somewhere, somehow, then heads are going to roll. We don't get documentation. I'm sure honorable members, you will all agree, we don't get documentation on the day of presentation, unless there's a very, very good reason that it couldn't be obtained on the day. Because the very secretary next to me was giving the impression that it's only... I don't know. Okay, let's go. This is really upsetting me. I'm sorry if it's not you. I'm very sorry.
We can even send proof of the email that was sent yesterday. Thank you for the opportunity to present the program for CEF. But I must at the outset say this is coming at a very critical stage for CEF, where we have been forced to re-examine our role and our mandate as a government entity. I mean, businesses are expected to do that on a regular basis, but with us, it's a life and death matter, as you will see from my presentation. Basically, those are the areas that I'm going to cover: structure, the objectives, the activities, and the projects. Chair, this is just basically the overall structure of the group.
Just before we get into the sequencing, don't know who you are, guys.
Oh.
I may know you, but we don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Please.
Sir, let me introduce myself. I'm Phuthumi Damane. I'm the chief executive of SEF. Next to me is Dr. Chris Cooper. He's the corporate planner. Ms. Adila Osman is the chief financial officer. And behind me is Mr. Mandla Chala, is the communications manager. And on the side there is Ms. Busima Buza, who's the chairperson of SEF. Just continuing, Chair. This is, I don't know whether you've got the presentation, but oh, okay. This is just the structure as I had shown to you in some previous meeting, which really is an overview of who we are and the web, I think you called it, of companies that are under CEF. I'm going to talk to what I call the critical juncture we are at and the influence it will have on these companies. But just to emphasize, to stretch, on the left-hand side there, you've got divisions, and you've got EDC, and you've got NEEA, that's National Energy Efficiency Agency. I'll talk to those a little bit later. The objectives that we've set ourselves for, for the following year, or this current financial year, are to reposition SEF in terms of a redefined mandate. I'm going to go back to this issue of a mandate now and again. To identify new opportunities for SEF, again, this will emanate from what mandate we redefine. To maintain proactive engagement with the Department of Energy, we found it is necessary, and maybe it was lacking in the past, to build and maintain an appropriate human capital base, because if we're going to do the things we're supposed to do, we want to make sure we've got the people capable of doing that. And above all, we've got to make sure that the business is managed efficiently and effectively. Now, going back to the issue of mandate, I think I need to just give a brief background history on what SEF used to do in the past. SEF, in the past, Chair, was a state organ which was established to make sure that the country's liquid fuel needs were met. So basically to make sure the country didn't run dry during the sanctions era. They did that very well. Self-funded Sasol 2, self-funded Mosgas, which is now Petro SA and Sukor, self-funded EGAS, and before EGAS, all of the funds which were expended were just to make sure that SEF, the country, didn't run dry. Above all, SEF also, with SFF, which is a subsidiary of SFF, the Strategic Fuel Fund, built a big facility in Saldanha, which has got about a storage capacity of over 50 million barrels of crude. And there was also crude in some disused mines in Ochis in the Mpumalanga area. All of these things were funded by SEF. But as you can see, they were all related to oil. Basically, SEF was an oil company. And through SFF, SEF was sourcing crude for the country at some stage because of the sanctions. I mean, I can say now SEF was a sanctions buster through SFF. The country never ran dry, even during the 80s, the era of sanctions. Now, after 1990 and 94, that role, the role that SEF had, as you can imagine, became redundant because there were no sanctions and oil companies could source their oil own crude freely. So a dilemma was faced, and at the time, the Minister of Mineral and Energy, as it was, issued a directive, it was called the High-Level Business Strategy, in 2003, which basically redefined the role that SEF should play into the future. Because so the period of 1990 to 2003, I think SAF was in a limbo. There was nothing happening. Except maybe to merge Petrol SA, Mosgas and Sukor. So from 2003, this directive said SAF must now be an integrated energy company, basically a renewable energy company, but with all these other subsidiaries like SFF and Petrol SA within this table, plus EGAS. And there was, I think there was vision here, because it was long before the hype now about climate change and all of these things. But the SAF was refocused. And refocusing SAF gave it, I think, a new dynamism, because SAF now started investing in projects on the ground in renewable energy. And I must just say also that every time there was virtually no private sector involvement in renewable energy. The only private sector involvement was sparked by the REFIT. Before REFIT, private sector didn't want to touch renewable energies. But SAF were involved because the directive said specifically we must look at these areas. And we found, even without REFIT, we could make these projects viable through selling the certified emission reductions, that is the carbon credits that we get from the renewable energy, to the extent that we had been cooperating with many companies, especially in Europe, which were advanced in this area of carbon trading and carbon credits. So this is where we were until about 2009, 18 months ago actually, when the REFIT was published. When the REFIT was published, there was a small clause hidden somewhere which says that any company which is over 50% owned by the state will not qualify for REFIT or qualify as an independent power producer. You can imagine, Chair, what this did to our projects, because we had been embarking on this from 2004 as 100% investors, some of them with partners, but with a majority shareholding. Now, in the middle of it, the rules change. And this rule change has had very deleterious effects on SAF going forward, because we just cannot continue as a minority. Because if you are a minority, you cannot not even determine your cash flow. Because people say, why don't you do it as a minority? You say, it will be swallowed, it will be swamped. We understand why the rule was put there, because the government wants to encourage independent power producers out of government to come in with outside money. We understand that. But the unintended consequence of that is that SAF cannot continue with this project as they had started them. We've tried many things, Chair. Our board, ourselves, everybody who we talked to, we've tried to get them involved in persuading our own Department of Energy to at least relax this for the project that we had started. I mean, we spent this money from 2004. So far, we haven't had joy, but we never lose hope. Which brings us then to why do you want to develop or revise this mandate? We certainly believe that this has completely changed the goalpost, and this has completely changed the terrain in which SAF has to operate, and we need to find out how do we operate going forward. Because the 2003 strategy is clear. It is a huge document which talks in great detail about how SAF should be managed going forward. But just a simple clause in the IRP 1 document destroyed everything. It doesn't destroy SAF, because SAF existed even before this. And as I showed in the previous slide, in the organizational structure, There are a number of activities that SAFE has been embarking on in the past, which can, but its role will certainly be different from the role it had assumed from 2004. And then what do we think we're going to do going forward? We believe we have to look for opportunities. You know, I think we're scratching the bottom of the barrel here, even to look at equipment manufacturing. We have been involved. I mean, if we have been involved, for example, in photovoltaic panels, we can manufacture these. We can manufacture other systems which can be used in this field. But we have to investigate this, because we are not sitting down and saying, there's nothing to do. We're saying we're going to investigate what we can do in the future for the benefit of the country, or of SAFE. We have to investigate opportunities to initiate energy poverty alleviation projects, because despite all the available energy in big cities and other places, there's still poverty alleviation there, out there. And poverty alleviation, Chair, is how do you make energy accessible, and not only accessible, but so that people can afford it. We want affordable, accessible energy for the poor people. I mean, we're looking at the cold now. People are in corners in their well-heated homes, but there are people without that kind of comfort. These are the kind of things we are hoping to look at in the future. Chair, we're also thinking of engaging with the Department of Energy again, much closer now, to look at these issues. As you indicated, the high-level business strategy we got in 2003 emanated from the then Department of Minerals and Energy. So I think we have to engage with the department, because as the shareholder department, they have the prerogative. I think they have the responsibility themselves to say, as the shareholder, this is how we want you to spend our money. Because we as managers can just send them in directions that will only protect our jobs. But the essence should be, must come from the shareholder and say, this is what is good for the country. We've seen a start already. The department has asked us to look at the feasibility of the solar park in Upington, which I think is a good project for the country, a good initiative. So as SAFE, we are cooperating with the department in that, and I don't want to repeat, maybe the presentation has been made, but if the project comes through, it will be a breakthrough, groundbreaking project for the country. These are the kinds of engagements we are hoping to continue with the department. Chair, as I said, on an ongoing basis, we want to make sure that if we put in our money, we get economic returns. Why are we stressing that? Because, Chair, as you know, we are self-funding. SAFE does not get any allocation from the state. So we have to make sure that we get good returns. Otherwise, if we are using our money in value-destroying projects, we will go one way, and that is down. We've got a number of associate companies. Associate companies are companies where we own less than 50%, and our intention is to make sure that we manage those investments correctly. It's a dicey thing managing investment associates, which is why we are reluctant to invest or continue in the projects that we had started before refit as a minority shareholder, because we'll be an associate. We've got investments in subsidiaries like Petro SA, EGAS. Those subsidiaries are using monies that were given to them by SAFE, and SAFE in many cases still has obligations like guarantees in, for example, EGAS. So SAFE has to continue managing those. And again, Chair, one of the major functions of SAFE is to provide, let me call them head office or corporate services to subsidiaries. Things like human resources management, they don't have to hire their own HR, all these companies which are under SEF, financial management, SEF does all of that, the treasury function, IT, SEF has got all that function and they just piggyback, which saves a lot of money, and I think it's a very efficient way of running business, as a matter of fact. So all of this means that you have to have a sustainability drive. The sustainability drive is to make sure that in the long term, the company survives. Last but not least, we have to evaluate and progress, if need be, the existing projects. Those are the projects we started before refit. I did allude to this chair that if we are going to do all of these things, we need to make sure that we've got the right people to do it. You know, you only realize the importance of people when they leave, but in our business, people are very major resource. It is not a slogan. What projects did you start before refit? See, when I say talk about this refit, I because these are the projects, yeah. Landfill gas projects in Buffalo City, City of Cape Town, Tshwane, Johannesburg, and Fulane. Just on this, you know, when we started this, for example, the City of Cape Town, they came to us, apparently there's something in the Municipal Finance Management Act, which says if you give a project to a state-owned company, you don't have to tender. So they wanted to speed their project. So we latched onto it. And I mean, it was not difficult because we were the only ones playing in this space before. And our expertise was known and recognized. So they came to us, and we had advanced this project so far that we were just at the stage where we were supposed to put in equipment in one of the landfill sites in the city of Cape Town and start flaring when this refit thing came. So we were well advanced. We put in money, obviously, but the city was keen. They were pressurizing us. We were working well, and we were ready to move. But at the 11th hour, they came to us and said, if you cannot sort this out, we're sorry, we're going to have to say thank you very much to you, which they did. So the city went on its own without us, and we left with nothing. And the snowball effect of this chair is other players in the market will know, and they know that if you go with SEF, you cannot finish a project because there is this limitation, and this has hit us. Of those, the landfill gas project in Johannesburg, we did take a minority shareholding, which we did before we were involved with the city of Cape Town. And we did this strategically because we wanted to cooperate with some of these players so that whatever we learn there, we can go and use in the city of Cape Town, where we're the majority shareholder. So that project is still going on. I think we've got about 29, between 29 and 30%. The city biogas, this is a project which is going to use cow dung. This is the biggest feedlot in the south, in South Africa, in Heidelberg. They've got cow dung like you've never seen. And I learned recently that actually cattle, you know, we say cattle are good for us, but the amount of methane emitted through the waste that cattle produce is one of the biggest destroyers of the ozone layer, because methane is actually more dangerous than carbon dioxide in terms of protection of the ozone layer and climate change, things like that. So we're playing our bit again in taking this down, this methane, and converting it into energy. George Woodward is a project which is based in the George area, where we thought there was a lot of wood there because of the forest around there. And we had advanced so much in that. But the project also, I must concede, has hit some problems. Because what we did find was, you know, in our haste, you know, some of the managers would rush these things and not look at the detail. Because I think people just wanted to see a project on the ground. And this was one of those, and it could be saved, but I think it has hit problems. Credo Biofuels, this is a project we're cooperating in with IDC, but you know, the amount of money involved meant that you have to get approval from the minister to continue with this project. This approval has not been received, so we have pulled out of the project. Johanna Solar and TFST, I'll group those together. Johanna Solar was, you know, the University of Johannesburg. It was around then, but the University of Johannesburg. They developed thin fuel technology, thin film technology. They used, you know, most of the photovoltaic panels, they use silicone as a base. But these ones were using some substance called diselenide, copper diselenide base. It's a copper base. But it's a rare mineral, which was cheaper. The efficiencies were supposed to be better than silicone. So we cooperated with the university at the time because it was a groundbreaking thing. And they set up a company in Germany, which is where we invested again so that we can learn there. And then the TFST was going to be our own South African venture now, in cooperation with the university and some South African investors. Sasol at some stage expressed some interest and put in some money. And Rembrandt, you know, when you see Rembrandt getting involved into something, they're not called Rembrandt now, they think they're called Remco. So we thought we were on a good wicket, and I still think we are. Philips, we are again Philips CFL. This is a company we were formed with Philips in Lesotho. Philips decided that they're going to manufacture in Lesotho to manufacture CFL bulbs. And the line is going now. The company is producing. And the purpose here is to substitute most of the bulbs which the country is presently importing from, especially the East. With the view, because I think this is also praiseworthy, because they're looking to, we have been looking in the future. There has been a declared intention by the Department of Energy to move away from the present incandescent lights. So when that happens, we're hoping to be well placed to supply those bulbs. Darling Wind Power, Chair, this is a company we are not very proud of. This is, we did this by directive because the minister at the time wanted a demonstration project. So SF, which is a company playing in the renewable energy field, was mandated to participate in. The only problem here is that we have problems with the partners. You know, we have to choose well your partners. Otherwise, there's nothing wrong with the concept of the project itself. There is value, for example, if in a future project that can be developed on the same site, because the present infrastructure will be used for that. And then we've got what we call development projects. These, again, these projects are as a result of that directive of 2003, because as I said, that directive changed completely the direction of the. This one is Masanje Ngomakoko. I'm sure you've heard it in the past. Over the past few years, we've been piloting this, going to the townships. Even now, I think we are in Springs and we are in Deepswater, trying to get people to change the way. You know, I never believe this thing because it is scientifically counterintuitive that you could put coal and all of this on top and light. Because I say, I mean, where is this? You can't destroy matter. It must go somewhere, you know. But somehow, it happens. And it works, Chair. We've demonstrated it, and many people have come to see it, and we're funding it ourselves, and we're cooperating with the department there. We've also looked at the safe paraffin stoves, because, you know, paraffin, especially in the Western Cape here, you hear shacks getting burnt because stove fell and paraffin spills. So we've been looking at what are safe paraffin stoves, which even if it falls, the paraffin will not leak and the whole place will burn. So we've been doing that work. And then there's the Robben Island Renewable Energy Project. Again, Robben Island is using diesel for power generation, which is very expensive. And we were helping them to look at the renewable energy, specifically photovoltaics in that area. So, Chair, that in brief are the projects that we are looking at. As SEF now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Damane. Quite an interesting input, especially now that we're going to be visiting Darling Wind Project tomorrow. I don't know if any of your colleagues would like to make any input. It's not my call in any case, but the chair is around. Usually, as a matter of practice, we check whether the chairs would like to give maybe a word or two.
Thank you very much, Chair. The CEO has covered everything. I thank you for the opportunity.
Honourable Member, the floor is yours. Snowvula, Kadaluka, Kadamtao, now.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. CF has indicated in its 2009 annual report that the construction of 1.1 billion commutable compressor station will be completed in the last quarter of 2009. Therefore, the committee would like to know the progress of that project. The second question is, there's a Norwegian agency for development cooperation, NORAD, petroleum project injected a huge sum of money to the tune of 22 million in oil and gas industry in South Africa in areas of policy empowerment of females in the upstream and downstream liquid fuel and gas sectors. It is therefore crucial for the committee to assess progress recorded by this partnership since its inception. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I was just watching to just whether we could go into the refit issue. I think because it's really important and what is the real problem so we can understand it. And then I think it is. I think you really get agitated when we get to that. The other issue is the that solar, Johanna Solar. Why does it have to go to Germany? Couldn't we do this at home? Because it was invented here, and then we see our invention ends up in Germany, and unfortunately the result is going to be, when we buy back this technology, it will be expensive, whereas we could have developed it here. And then on the Darling Worm, you see, this is where I get worried when some of these companies come in and the partners have a disagreement with people like you guys, the CES. I think we should work together. I think this is what the... because they were given an opportunity now. It looks like it may be a case of the tail wagging the dog, but we need to see what is the real problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a bit worried about what's been put before the committee here. For an enterprise like CEF, which in my view would be one of the really basic tenets of the Department of Energy, to come up with a strategy to encourage renewable energy without engaging CEF, which was involved in this area even before the department made this a policy. It just seems to me like there's a huge dislocation here, and that compounds the problem that I think CEF faces currently, and that is why I think the CEO has talked about a matter of life and death. My question in addition to that would be, it seems like the department does not have a role for CEF. Does CEF see a role for itself, and if so, what is that role? Because it seems like you are accepting that you have now been discounted out of renewable energy, and these other projects that you currently have are probably going to be discontinued. What are you going to do about it? What would you like to see as CEF? I got the impression that you are still sort of grappling with this, or that you haven't applied your mind as to what do we do to continue to exist. Or have you resigned yourself to dying quietly and forgetting this whole thing? Thanks, Chair.
I've been making notes as the CEF was making its presentation, and this comes into about four areas that they have presented. The first area being the problem question, the problem area, or the problem statement, if you want to say. And the second area being the implication of the problem statement in relates to existing projects. The third area being the relationship between the department and CEF in relation to business. And what would the department see as the future of CEF as they engage with each other? And the last area being the potential use
opportunities that SEF is looking at, and of course linked to that, the wish that whatever engagements and discussions come, evaluation of the existing project be looked at with a view to be allowed to continue with them. And linked to that would be the issue of the sustainability drive, the development and maintenance of human resources and all that. This is basically in summary an attempt. Now this picture, if this is the true picture that I have drawn there, says to us that engagements are to be taken. But as I was looking forward to get in the presentation, whereas CEF says that we have been asked to relook at our new mandate, and we have engaged with the department in relation to this matter, and these are the new proposals. It doesn't look like we are there yet. It looks like the current situation is a situation where CEF has got projects closest to their heart, and the decision of the qualification to the IPP or the renewable energy production has put them into a blow in respect to this project, and therefore a new mandate has got to be developed, but we are not there yet. So we are in a situation of a lull. This is what I'm understanding. And the fact, the idea of the manufacture of energy equipment and the energy poverty alleviation projects are but some of the things that you are thinking aloud. You have not as yet engaged with the department or whoever in regards to this. So what, if I may ask, what is CEF asking us to do, if we must become more clearer? Are you asking the committee to say, in relation to this decision that has been taken on the qualification of IPP, this is what you recommend could have saved you? Or are you saying to us, you are prepared to accept what comes and ready to move into the new direction? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Khader. Thank you, Chair. My apology for arriving a little bit earlier than the next meeting. Chair, I'm trying to get the private document of presentation so that I want to come up to speed with the presentation, but I don't find any document. Unless privacy if came to show us pictures and then they leave. If there's a presentation document, then we'll highly appreciate it. Yeah. In the morning when you're visiting the regional office, the region, which you know, when you say region, you speak about small things, you don't speak about national big things. You know, they gave us a document that you know, even today you can be able to refer to that what we were talking about. So I'm taking terms of that, because you know, I'm trying to also get the gist of the mission and vision of the CEF, so that we can also check whether they're still relevant in terms of their mandate that they are implementing. Because if we don't have those documents, it's very difficult that you can preempt, you know, whether what they are presenting as well, bluffing at us, or is the reality of the matter. Because I'm still having a concern of the previous report that we've received from the CEF of the solar wastewater, that we wanted to go and do oversight there. We're told no, we cannot be able to go there. I those are a very serious concern issues about me. You know, because we're still waiting for that report. We never have got any. And today we're told that CAF is also having a subsidiary that deals with solar panels. And, you know, those are the things, Chair. If I could just clarify these short things that I've just inquired, I'll be able to. But again, Chair, my apology for arriving late.
Okay, that will be the first round. We have to respond.
The question on the compressor, I think that was Iges. Iges is 25% sold in a company called Romco, Republic of Mozambique, South Africa company, with Sasol is 50%, government of Mozambique 25%, and that 1.1 billion was for that. I may just say that compressor was finished, it was commissioned, and pumping more gas from Mozambique into South Africa. The NORAD, 22 million. What we're doing there with NORAD, you see, whenever I'm showing it in the slide, we just administer the funds. We offer in a secretariat, like a financial management process. Otherwise, it's a government-to-government, government-to-government relationship. NORAD has been helping the Department of Energy. Before it was Mineral and Energy. They've done, I know, for a number of projects in capacity building. And we're not really involved in the project themselves, except to administer them. We're offering that kind of service. The refit issue is really a problem, Mr. Lucas, and this thing is not saying staff must not do it, but it's the definition. When they define an IPP, an independent power producer, they define an independent power producer as any organization which does not have a majority stakeholding. That's why I say we understand it. We understand it, but, you know, it's not nice to us, but we understand why it's done. It's to attract private sector involvement into renewable energy. Johanna Solar, why was it taken to Germany? Couldn't we do it here? I wish we could. But I think the university just wanted to make money. It was not our own proprietary technology. The university did it, and they thought to make some quick hits, and they gave the first license to Germany, and came late. I mean, so like we're rushing after them. Just please, can you get us to get involved also? And they allowed us. They even gave us only a 3% stake, just so that we can participate and learn from it. But the understanding was that there would be a South Africa. The next one would be in South Africa, which is the TFST that I was talking about. Darling Wind, yes, it wasn't really a statement. It was a statement. There's nothing wrong with the project. I must reiterate, there's nothing wrong with the project. There's nothing wrong with doing a demonstration project. But maybe there was no right fit between partners. Because again, it was a directive, you will cooperate with these people. We didn't choose our own partners here. The question was, I think a member expressed that the worry that DOE could go into the IRP without SAF. It seems like DOE does not see the role of SAF. What is our role going forward? What are we going to do? So these are the questions that we have been grappling with ourselves. And what do we want to see in the future? Are we going to die quietly? And this ties up with a later question about all of these things we're trying to do, manufacturing and so on. You know, I always say we spend some time thinking about this. And the original mandate of SAF in oil and how it was funded
didn't come from the managers of SEF. The high-level business strategy of 2003 didn't come from the managers of SEF. It came from the owners of SEF. We expect the owners of the business to say, this is how I want my business to run. We just hired help there. And, you know, we've been thinking about things. I always say, if I would think of a commercial venture which is going to make money, will I take it to SEF or I'll take it somewhere and do it myself? I'm being honest now. The people who are working for someone are not normally entrepreneurs who can think of new ways of doing business. People who do that are working for themselves somewhere. We just bureaucrats. And then, I mean, this ties up with, again, the relationship between ourselves and DOE, the opportunities that we're looking at, and all of these things. We've said, and as I'm trying to show here, maybe the owner of the business will not have the same limitations in thinking that we have. They can come up broadly and say, this is what you need to do. But if you're working, you're a manager, you've got these walls, you think, oh, I can't do this, I can't do this. It's like, again, referring to the 2003 high-level business strategy, it was charting a new course for SEF. It's not the managers of SEF at the time who brought this up. It was the owners of SEF. They must have spent a lot of time thinking about what to do. And then, what is SEF asking us to do? We, as I said, we've approached the department, everybody, the board, in various, not once, many times. I mean, we've got a file this big of letters written to the department. We also understand that you don't want to make special regulations for your own state-owned company. I mean, you see, in the mining company now, the mining company, incidentally, is also owned by SEF. You see the amount of negativity from business because they believe that it's going to be singled out for preferential treatment. We understand that. We understand also that that could be the dilemma that is facing our minister. But we are appealing all the same with some very good reasons to say we have been engaging in these projects whilst nobody else was willing to put their money. So just let us finish the ones that we have started. That's all that we want. Let's finish these ones. We've already lost the city of Cape Town. We're building up a bum rep because people think that these guys, they can't do this because their hands are tight. So time is fast running out for us.
Whilst I'm encouraging another round, Sidamane, do you mind if you could put in the spider web? It's a good reminder. Some of the questions that I have will please, as soon as it does energy saving, just revise it. Thank you. Another round, members? Marana Mutahu? Okay, I'll come in as well. Thank you.
Really a follow-up. It's worrying me. And I think I'm going to throw the ball back at SEF. I understand that the owner has plans or had plans, but the world has changed. The owner seems to have abandoned SEF. And SEF seems to say, oh, what would happen if SEF came up with a well-prepared plan and put it in front of the Minister of Energy and said, this is what we see, this is what we want to do. Do you think the minister would just say, go play card or look at it seriously? I'm just a little worried that the CERF seems to be abdicating their managerial role. I come from the private sector where, yes, owners are the shareholders, yes, they have this, but they want to see the business thrive. And I swear, if the management of CERF would come with a brilliant plan as to how they sustain themselves, the Minister of Energy would probably give them a bonus and not kick them out of the ballpark. Am I reading this thing wrong?
Equally to say, maybe Chairperson, this
is a challenge to us that I'm just a bit reluctant because it's premature for us. I would have imagined a situation where when we meet with SEF, SEF has already met with the department, and we are able to say, what does the department say? Did you present a problem statement to them? What do they say? And when we say we want to engage with the department, we must be saying we want to perhaps mitigate within a particular impact of a problem, of an issue. But at the moment, I'm reluctant to say, to make a recommendation that says, why don't we arrange a meeting where the department, CEF, and the portfolio committee can get together and try to do what Dr. Lucas is saying. I'm a bit reluctant, but it does, because it does appear that engagements have not started yet within the role players to find out the solution. And the potential for that, for a solution of this particular challenge exists at the back of my mind. But what? When? When is the right time to ask certain questions? We can't ask the questions about the department, neither can we condemn the department for not having taken care of this or that, because engagement at that level has not taken place yet. That is a worrying part.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we didn't sit down and say we'll just fold up, sir. I did show there that the question was what would happen if SEF came up with a plan to the minister? You know, say, minister, here's a plan. We've been grappling with this project, with this problem for a long time. Even last year, I remember the board met with management in one of these breakaways. That is where this thing of looking for manufacturing opportunities came up. It was trying to, you know, because this, we're saying that we energy players, we don't want to go and make toothpaste. Let's look at making something that we know. Energy components, maybe. That's why we're talking about solar photovoltaic panels or solar water heaters and that kind of thing. And I know one of our subsidiaries has been talking to the subsidiary listed there, has been talking to some Chinese companies about cooperating in a solar water heating venture. So we have not been sitting still. But as I said initially, do you expect hired help to give you the solution? But this hired help has been engaging. We've been engaging. We spent last year, I don't know, a week just trying to think of what we can do. We're still continuing to do that. And hopefully we can come up with a plan. But the plan has got to be in the area of energy. Also, I mean, just to reiterate, most of these things, or the possibilities, have been looked at in other parts of the world. You know, with the internet now and the contacts that people have across the globe, the likelihood of you sitting, you know, there and coming up with something that somebody who's genuinely hungry to make money hasn't thought about are quite slim. Which is why maybe we favor a situation like the one we presented with, because SEF was originally established to solve a problem, and the problem was sanctions, liquid fuels. Country had to be kept wet. and they did that successfully. Later on, SEF, the direction was changed so that SEF could be a player in renewable, kickstart the renewable energy industry in South Africa, and we did that. You don't set up an organization just for setting it up. You want to solve a specific problem, which is what has happened in the past. And we're saying, does the department, does the country have a specific energy problem, maybe, that they need us to solve? The statement was made that this seems to be like a family row. Why can't we solve it? We didn't say this is a row between us and Joey. That's why I continually make the statement. We understand why the department put in this regulation. Because if you remember, even in the maybe 90s or early 2000s, the government was advocating, making statements, inviting the private sector to be involved in energy. There were no takers. So publishing REFIT was a way of attracting private sector interest. And I must say it was successful because I've seen the number of players in energy growing as a result of REFIT. So it's not a row. A misunderstanding perhaps, but definitely not a row. Why didn't you complain to the portfolio committee? I concede that I think it was our attempt not to problematize this. Because, you know, if maybe we had come to the portfolio committee, we also have to be sensitive that maybe the minister would like that. You know, we only come back to her for another thing to say, go to that portfolio committee. We don't know. So we do concede that we never opened that channel. Maybe it is a channel that we need to look at to solve problems. Because all of us want to solve these problems. We don't want to. So I say we didn't want to problematize this by doing that. And then there's a question about the links within that spider web. I think when we came here, we were specifically asked to deal only with SEF, not with the subsidiaries. But if I would just take that, the subsidiaries you see there, most of them, as a result of directives, like, okay, SFF was there, EGAS was the directive, PASA Petroleum Agency, I think it's known, PetroSA, OPC, the Oil Pollution Control, African Exploration, SANERI, and then the others like ETA, CCE, SEF Carbon. These are directives which emanated from the projects that we're doing. Because when you do a project, sometimes you do it with a private sector player. So you need to locate it in a structure, you know, of governance. So those mostly are the result of that. So even if we do a manufacturing project, if we partner with foreigners like Chinese, we'll have a structure for that. And then the relationship with the DOE, again, I think I've said it. There's no problem between us and DOE. It's just that there is this disjuncture. They are a regulator. They have to look at the interests of everybody, not only of them. We understand that. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Khader. Thanks, Chair. Chair, I posed a few questions earlier. I will receive my response. Can I get those responses? Can you put on your...
Oh, sorry.
the issue of documents was discussed when we started the proceedings. I don't know whether, Chair, you want me to reiterate that. Okay. And then the solar water heaters. Again, the solar water heaters are located within ITA Energy. And we're asked here to talk about SEF itself, the core business of SEF. So when that subsidiary comes, I think that is where the question will arise.
All right, Chair. Well, maybe sometimes when I ask questions, I become too youthful, you know, and having that too much excitement, and people, they take me, you know, obviously, my president, Comrade Chias Malima, usually when he speaks, people, they don't like it. Probably we adapted that system ourselves, you know. My apology for that. But, Chair, I think it will be very wisely for the CF to know that a portfolio committee is not a committee that will police people and fight people. It's a portfolio committee that will be able to assist when there are challenges. It will be better that If you have challenges, it's not like we are clever minister or portfolio committee, but you are trying to engage with us to say there are these challenges. They are not problems, challenges that can be resolved. You need us also to try and you know, solve these problems. Because if there are challenges that you don't engage with us and say no, I won't tell you these challenges because the minister will be angry because she'll think, you know, I'm trying to put some, you know, things that, you know, are not good for her. It, you know, we won't be able to solve, because my thinking is that we are trying to solve problems that are facing South Africa. And if all of us were part of South Africa, it's not about an individual. It's not about what the minister says. It's not about what the president says. It's about the problem that is facing South Africa. If CF was created to assist us in solving problems of South Africa in relation to all he has said and in relation to other challenges that are around South Africa, must be able to come up with solution. I really don't understand properly to say, you know, you couldn't be able to engage with the portfolio committee, because the portfolio committee is there to assist where there are locks in order for us to put legislation that will assist you to operate properly and correctly. Tomorrow, you will be recognized as a president who led CEF and unleash problems of South Africa. That will be written in the history of South Africa. I don't want to find myself being said in the activist parliament. There was this young man called Susokadele who couldn't be able to assist South Africans to unleash problems that are facing. You know, my grandchildren will come into my grave and say, hey, this is a very bad ancestor, and throw stones there, dig my tomb, say, this is a bad ancestor, say to assist us to be, you know, have a better freedom and unleash or benefit from the economic freedom. It must be also in our mind that it's not about the portfolio committee being something to be bad, that's going to dig problems and all that stuff. No. We're trying to unlock challenges where they are. If CF at the current moment hasn't been able to come up with a better strategic objective or a new mandate that is proposing to the shareholder,
I think what Honorable Mutao has said, NCF is abandoning its responsibility of management. We must be able to provide solutions. I still have that concern. Is it the issue of solar water heaters? The report that we've requested to you, when the chairperson was still Honorable Elizabeth, who is the deputy minister now, it created a huge fuss around other members. Myself, I never felt good about myself, because when I walk around, they told me that yeah, when I would say this, so go abuny ba abara. I was like, it's not me. I felt bad. And I really I can't feel free until that problem can to be resolved. Because if you came to the portfolio committee and reported that well, NCF, we're going to install solar heaters at Nelson Mandela Bay, and as a portfolio committee we say then thank you, we gave us also a time frame, then we say then why don't you go and do an oversight visit there. And we've been told now, no, you can't go there. There's a challenge. The solar water heaters, they're not even tried to install yet by part of CEF. I couldn't get an understanding. That's why I'm saying I still have that question to say it hasn't been resolved. And until I get probably a full answer, I'll be able to be better in my heart to say, okay, fine, this has been done. But also, what you've just said now, CEO, I mean, Chairperson, to say the mandate of CEF, it was this, and it has changed. That's why I was saying if the documents were here, but obviously if you explained, the documents are not here. But I want to get a clarity, what is the mandate of CEF now, moving forward? Thanks, Chair.
Just a follow-up question, sorry to do this, but it just struck me that maybe we are approaching the CEF problem from a wrong angle. It's just a thing I'm going to throw at CEF, because you've engaged with the minister and board and whatever. Is CEF's problem the fact that CEF is a holding company and there are those who believe that it is just an expensive overhead and they have to get rid of it? Just a question.
I'm looking at time. The first thing I'd like to comment on is the relation between the legislature and the executive, as well as its entity. The Central Energy Fund works under the Department of Energy. I'd like to see the Central Energy Fund coming straight to this committee complaining about its relations with the Energy Department, if I take the extreme. Even if you take it mildly, I'm sure it would force us to run into our procedures to check how things are done. Yes, there is a direct line when we as Parliament take the initiative to call you to account, just to give us presentations and mandates. I think that should be made very clear. Mr. Davana, I hear you talking about that you were called to talk about CEF, not the subsidiaries, associates, and projects. But amongst other things, that's one of the things, the reasons why I said, just keep this here so that it keeps on reminding us to know who CEF is. CEF is not just a name at the top. It has legs, and it stands on those legs. It exists because of those divisions, subsidiaries, associates, and projects, and nothing else, and nothing less. As a result, one of the expectations, without having told you particularly, an institution of about 11 billion rand, which should be well resourced, not only financially but also in terms of intellectual capacity and expertise. What you have indicated to us, your management strategy, not operations plan, your management strategy of all those legs, divisions, subsidiaries, projects, in the different ways. And a strategy is a strategy, doesn't mean one thing. Because at some stage, you did indicate that you do work for some of them by doing finance, by doing this and that. So it means, as they are under you, you don't exist without them, and they don't exist without you. It would have been helpful to at least have a sense financially. How is your management strategy financially, in terms of operations, in terms of policy, in terms of legislation? You said you are entering the renewable area. We have entered, sorry. And there's a lot of exciting things there. And surely there are expectations from us to see how this powerful institution, this public entity, is playing its role in that field. That's taking one area, not that the others don't exist. Honorable member just recently with another public entity, the way it articulated itself, even if it didn't comment in full, but it was sense it's giving an effort. Without going deep into its subsidiary, that is the expectation. You make reference to the refit component of your work. And the impression that you're giving, or I'm getting, rather, is that because of the changes that have taken place, therefore it has created unintended consequences. And the other impression is that things will not work well with CEF. That's one of the other fundamental reasons why I said keep on putting this picture on the screen. And the question I have is that what component of refit, and even in value terms, takes this spider's web? Because I don't think all of these divisions, subsidiaries, associates, and projects, they are all around refit. And even renewable or alternative energy itself, it's not all about refit. IRP, it has been an expectation that all entities of the Department of Energy play a role in it. It would have been lovely to have heard from the horse's mouth to indicate whether you see yourself playing a role in the integrated resource plan. Whether it's IRP-1, whether it's IRP-2, whether it will be the IRP-3 for that matter, because IRP will be an iterative process. Does someone help me here to articulate the purpose of CEF in terms of its act? A couple of things here. It says, is to finance and promote acquisition of coal, exploitation of coal deposits, manufacture of liquid fuel, oil and other products from coal, goes on. Second one is acquisition, generation, manufacture, marketing, and distribution of any other forms of energy and research. From Saneri to Sanedi, we haven't had anything. Such a brilliant initiative, makes nothing. Maybe we are going to say no. Let's look at the subsidiaries, but I think what I said is key operations. And obviously, I think I have a valid expectation and an assumption that in keeping with IRP and even the integrated energy plan, whether it's still forthcoming, surely it would be helpful to articulate what role the CS play to ensure that we have a SANEDI, which is going to play a strategic function. Maybe, ladies and gentlemen, honourable members, the story can go on and on and on and on. I've been listening very, very carefully. Yes, he has a point about the redefining of the mandate, 2003 versus 2011, let's just be simple. We definitely are going to interact with the department on that. Ready ahead, some audience with the minister. But honorable members, we have to do that having had an exposure of the challenges collectively. I know you may have done it before. And to me, it was helpful to have this initial exposure. And I was upfront enough to say, we're going to handle all these subsidiary divisions and associates one by one so that we have a sense of what is happening in each, what is the value that's brought by each, how does it fit in, and that will enable and empower us that as we move along, interacting with both the Department of Energy as well as CEF, we're in a better pedestal of understanding. I understand and also quite respect the questions that arose, but I hope my comments, I'm not answering for you, Mr. Damani, but I hope they have shed some light, because whilst the doom and gloom seems to be impressed upon us, the question I have, what component, maybe you should answer that, what component does the refit in terms of value have on CF as a whole? Are you telling me that if really refit would decimate all that, all your projects that have to do with numerical or their link to refit, there won't be a CF tomorrow? Please convince me.
Chair, thank you very much. I think earlier on I did allude to the fact that CF existed before refit, and that CEF had a role in the past to play. And renewable energy, CEF being renewable energy, only started after 2003. And if you look at the slide, the spider web, the red blocks on the left, where it says subsidiaries, you've got Petro SA, which is 100% owned by CEF. It was funded by CEF, and CEF, I even said CEF still has some obligations, some of them. In fact, some of them owe money, like EGAS. CEF structured the deal for EGAS with SASO, which is a big function. SFF is also managed by CEF, and incidentally, SFF is playing a key role in the economy today. We store the strategic stocks of the country in Saldana, and also it's a business. SFF is generating money to the tune of about 300-400 million rands per year. bigger than many companies in the JSE. We've got OPC, all those subsidiaries. CEF is providing what I call support functions for them. We've got African Exploration, which we formed about 6 years ago, long before what is currency outside, about nationalization of mines and so on. But this company existed within CEF, and it's historical also why it was formed there. Saneri also was formed by CEF as a result of a directive. And then the others, the companies were project-based. Because of the projects we're doing with outside partners, we had to locate them in separate structures. So I did allude to the fact that even if CEF does not continue with renewable energy under the FIT, CEF still has a role. But we believe it's a diminished role. And I think it is human not to want to play occupy a diminished role when you've been expected to playing an expansive and large role, which is what is also shown there is CEF also manages the equalization fund for government. I mean, that's a major function. What is not there is CEF is providing a service for the country. We calculate the over and under recoveries in the petrol price, all the information that government uses to increase or decrease the petrol price. That information is given to CEF, and we calculate that on a daily basis. That's a major service that we provide. We've got SASDA. So the CEF will exist even without this. The problem which we will be stating is that a CEF can even exist and do these renewable energy projects as a minority. But the problem with minority, because we want to safeguard the investments, is that you do not control your cash flows. And I stated that CEF is self-funding. It's not funded from the fiscus. So we need to make sure that if we put in money, we get returns regularly so that we can finance the ongoing operations of the company. You cannot be assured of that if you are a minority investor in a company, because the majority may decide, no, we're going to take the money and plow it back into the company and not pay dividends, which is what we'll depend on if we were to do our projects as a minority shareholder in REFIT. REFIT, if I may state, is a good plan. I think it's the first time the country has had an integrated plan. And it doesn't only concern itself with what we're doing in renewable energy. It concerns with the supply of energy in general to the country, which is beyond our remit. It talks about nuclear, talks about the contribution of coal going forward. What percentage is it going to be? And I remember when the white paper in 1995 was published, there was a strong emphasis in separating the commercial from the regulator. And in our relationships with the department, that is always stressed, that you as CEF are going to be a commercial operation, which is how we've been operating all the time. And the department is a regulatory body. And REFIT is a regulatory thing, and our participation is like any other private sector player, not as support for government. This is because we're going to be a player, we cannot be a player in REFIT, but we are going to participate like anybody else. I hope I've answered some of the things.
Honourable members, can I appeal? Let's bring this to a close, but with one thing. Fortunately, all of us who are here were there at the workshop when we first had the first exposure to CEF. And I hope I have your support in the fact that during the oversight time, we'll have to go a little bit deeper into each of these subsidiaries so that we can have a better role to play when in the IT department about what I would regard as refinement of CEF, not just the mandate, but any other area. And I hope, researcher, you would take note of that. There's a major work ahead to assist us to a better understanding. Let me thank everyone from CEF who came. Let me thank you, but with the understanding that we have an unfinished chapter. The committee secretary differs with you in terms of bringing or submitting the information, but that's an issue for outside the meeting. But I'm not taking kindly to anyone for record purposes, whether it's you as CEF or whether it's him as a committee secretary. Because up to now, we are told in the CEF briefing with not a single document in front of us. And Asad, unfortunately. Thank you very much. Of course, as you have said, we regard this as a project and as a major project. The last time I heard that CEF value is 11 billion. This is a major initiative, or this is a major institution of the government. So we will handle it with the value and significance it deserves. And also, it also plays a big role with regard to renewables, which we are all eager to see unfolding in this country, refit or no refit. Because that's another area which the government is handling, which will have a solution. And I trust and hope we will be in touch. In future, we'll be in contact once we work out the date of engaging with the various associate divisions and subsidiaries. Thank you very much for now. Let's move over to EDF. I'm very sorry to take so long, but